السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد، الحمد لله، الله has given us توفيق to continue in reflecting and relating what scholars are saying about the names and attributes of Allah. And as we always start by reminding ourselves that this knowledge is the best knowledge of earth, because it is the most honorable, because it is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to know about Allah is to know the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the magnification of His attributes all around us. So we'll walk in earth with the knowledge, realization of understanding and seeing al-haq subhanahu wa ta'ala all around us through His attributes. And this is a comfort and a jannah that is on earth before the jannah in the hereafter. We talked about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting from al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in order in Surah Al-Hashr. And Allah have chosen to put it this way, in this order. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Ism Al-Mu'min. Al-Mu'min. Allah's name Al-Mu'min is very special name. All Allah's names are special, but there is something extra special about the name Al-Mu'min. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself Al-Mu'min and called us Al-Mu'minun. So Allah have taken, called us with one of His names, Al-Mu'minun. So this name must be very special. We must reflect on it and see how it is special, because we're really connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this name. When we say people who are al-mu'minun, who are believers, this is the literally translation or the common translation, al-mu'minun, the believers. So when we say believers, and then we say Allah al-mu'min, what does that mean? What does Allah believe in? And al-mu'min here, iman is to believe in the something that is absolute, that is real. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? From this name, we get the knowledge that Allah knows Himself. Okay? Allah al-mu'min, that means He knows Himself. This is an attribute that we do not share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we share some of it, but not in absolutely or in absolute. Meaning that we have some knowledge of ourselves, but we really do not have a complete knowledge of ourselves. But Allah has a complete knowledge of Himself. So, even when we talk about each other, we say, you know, as the famous saying, the one who knows and knows that he knows, then push him forward to teach. You know, the one who knows a subject and he knows that he knows it, push him forward to teach. And the one who knows and he does not know that he knows, alert him. Alert him. Say, tell him you know. Okay? Remind him so he can do the work. And the one who does not know and knows that he does not know, teach him. He knows where he stands. He doesn't know and he wants to know. Teach him. And the one who does not know and thinks he knows, stay away from him. The one who does not know and thinks that he knows, he will cause harm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a total knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word amana, as the Israelites said to Musa alayhi salam, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We will not nu'min in you unless we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be eyewitness and see Allah with our own eyes. So another word they're saying, we're not going to say that you are truthful until we see Allah. So this mu'min or iman or amn, it has to do with telling the truth. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mu'min, we know that we're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that tells the truth, the absolute truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of the past, total knowledge of His creation, of the past, of our past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have past, present, and future. So Allah knows our past, and Allah tells us about it. So what Allah give us from the knowledge of those who came before us is absolutely truth. No doubt about it, nothing shaky about it in any degrees. When Allah talked to us about the unseen, it is absolutely true as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it. So Allah al-Mu'min, when we open the Quran, when we hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no doubt whatsoever. Allah tells the absolute truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, and nothing is in control of Allah. Allah is in control of everything. When we tell something, we are involved within space, within time, within mind, within memory, within function of the body here and there. So when we try to tell even the truth, we might not even get it right, because of a lot of components that we are in and variables, if you will, that we might forget here and there. So when Allah tells us about what happens, it is absolutely true. And then when Allah tells us about the future as well, Allah tells us the truth. And we know the idea of variables does not exist here. Even though you might not quite get it, but it is the truth. Okay. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ, when you give Allah victory, Allah will give you victory. That's it, that's it. You are victorious, yes. When you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala victory. How? By implementing and submitting, surrendering to Allah, and implementing the way of Allah and going through that according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, you're going to be victorious. That's it, that's it. What about, equipment? What about this? You know, preparation, this and that? You go look at the history. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you the history of the past. It's clear, very clear and very accurate. And you see, this is not a component in this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you know, when Allah tells you something in the future, you know it is the truth, no matter how much is not to your sense and to your logic has some kind being deficient, if you will, in the mind of someone who's thinking about the means and cause and effect. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what I'm going to do, who's going to stop? No one will going to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah puts it in such a way that as group, as in individuals, in groups, and you are together, Allah will give you victory. But Allah will not compliment anyone because of anyone. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talked about it in the Jum'ah today, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the companion, were defeated in Uhud. He is the best man of mankind, the best that Allah that loves the most, the one who is leading mankind with the best group, but they had some disobedience to Rasulullah, so they were defeated. Rasulullah defeated with the companion, yes, because of when they looked at this, they said, "Anna hadha." Anna meaning how and where did this come from? He did not expect it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qul huwa min 'indi anfusikum." Say it is from yourself. That is a promise from Allah, al-mu'min, that you stay on the path, you'll get victory. Okay? You deviate from the path, you will lose. And the equation is clear to you. So when you want to get victory again, you just simply go on the path. That's all there is to it. Okay? But going on the path has to have knowledge. You cannot choose any path and say, this is the path to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who designed this path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mu'min, the one who tell us, promise us, and his promise comes true, and absolutely nothing will change in the promise of Allah. Also, the word mu'min from the word aman, amn or aman, which is has safety. Allah is the giver of safety. Allah is the giver of safety. Now, thinking about this, it has no end. We can all reflect on it for years and years. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of safety? Imagine yourself on earth and not trusting things around you of how it's going to react to you. It will be a miserable life. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put certain quality in everything that He created and give us the knowledge of it that we need. So therefore, you deal with things and its properties does not change on you. The property of things does not change on you. Meaning that water is liquid and is going to stay liquid. So when you are dealing with it, you are dealing with it in a very safe manner. You know what it can do. A small amount of water, what it can do. A big amount of water in the river, what it can do. A water that's coming from up high with a lot of pressure, you know what it's capable of. A water that is in a stream that does not move, you know what could happen to it. See, Allah made you familiar with water and knowing how it's going to react to different situations. And Allah made you familiar with it so much that you can use it now. And you know, when it has a pressure, you know you could use it in a way of developing something with that pressure. We know when it is running, you know it is clear and clean. You know when it is not running, stagnant, you know that it could have disease and so forth. You have to do something about it. And on and on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the knowledge of the water and how to use it with the fire, for example. So you know you want to put a fire out, you get water and put it in the fire will be put out. That is safety. There is no way that one day you get water and put it in on the fire, it will not put out the fire. This is a rule that absolutely exists and it's not going to change. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, as one scholar put it beautifully, he said, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire as they tried to punish him for breaking down the idols, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya nar kuni, O nar, be. See, be and it is. Bardan, be cool. But if it is only cool, there is a lot of bother in it. A lot of smoke and a lot of things that will fly from it. Wasalaman, and peace. Be bardan wasalaman. Meaning, do not even bother. Okay? But if Allah would have stopped there, fire will never have the quality that we have today. Because that is an absolute command to the fire. This is what's going to be forever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified it ala Ibrahim, upon Ibrahim. O fire, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Be cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. Other than that, your quality still stands of burning things and then being put out of fire and so forth. Now imagine yourself walking in earth and you're not trusting things around you, how it's going to react. What a miserable life. Okay? What a miserable life. How can you live? It's a life becomes impossible. And we do not think about that. We do not think of how beautifully Allah created things and how Allah gives us the intellect and the knowledge to be able to define it. Even a child would handle certain things and right away would know how to deal with it. Okay? A child will see a chair, and if it is a baby chair and very weak, the child might not stand on it. If you see the chair is shaking and so forth, after a certain age, they can make judgment that no, they cannot stand in this chair. So they go and grab something that's stronger to stand on it. Already know and making judgment of this safety issue. We know that. How the iron deals with wood. And how the iron, if you hit it in the wood, it will go into the wood. And how the iron, if it gets rusted, it might not last long and it will become fragile. And on and on and on. You know that you put your clothes on in the morning. Okay? And then you know in the winter time you put heavy clothes on. And you know how this heavy clothes is going to work. The warmth from your body will be kept in there and it will insulate your body from the outside elements and so forth and so on. And that does not change. That does not change. You know that your clothes, you cannot see through it. Just something very simple. You know this is how it is made and it's not going to change quality on you all of a sudden. It is safety. You know that we are sitting here in this building, alhamdulillah, that Allah helped us to build, and we are sitting on a ground that it was designed to handle so many people. And the span was so much, but there is no column. So there was a design that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired man to have that design. So this long piece of concrete will carry so many, and it will withstand and so many people and nothing will happen to it bi-idhnillah. So you walk here comfortably and you know that the ground will carry you. The ceiling is above you. It is designed a certain way because we trust this iron that is steel that is there. We trust this foam that is hanging on a frame and then frame is carrying this. And you walk as if you do not think, well, you do not think of any of that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you safety in everything that around you and the knowledge of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the knowledge of things that are very readily available for us. And we know that it is so readily available for us that we don't worry about missing it, like the air. Okay? You're not worried about the air. You go to sleep and you know you're going to wake up in the morning and air will be in the room and you're still breathing. Bi-idhnillah. Okay? Imagine if Allah puts some kind of a control on the air, that ability to put control on the air. What would happen to mankind? What kind of a life we're going to live? If you know that somebody, some evil person, was able to control the air, okay, you'll be living in fear because you cannot stay only a few seconds without it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it under no one's control. However, water, You can stay without water maybe for 10 days or so. So you're okay. You're not worried about it so much. If you go home and there is no water available in the faucet anymore for a day, most likely you can walk around for a couple of days and you can find a source of water. So you're not quite worried about that. You're not going to panic when you find out that the water in the city is gone and you're not going to get it for so long. You're not going to panic because you can survive without it for a while, and you can dig a hole in the ground and a well in the ground and find some water under the ground and. So there is a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us so we can feel this safety around. Okay? Food we can be without maybe for 30 days or 40 days as some did. Okay? So, you know, there is a food shortage and you cannot get food. Okay, you're not going to panic because it's not like air, only a few seconds and you will die. Or not like water, only 10 days and you will die. It is more than that. If you have water, you can drink water for a month, okay, without food. So within a month, most likely you'll be able to find food. Matter of fact, if you plant something, certain food, the earth will be eaten, Allah would bring you something within a month, and so forth. Point being is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measured things for us in such a specific way for us, for our comfort in this life, okay? For our safety in this life. And we go by it and we do not even think about it. And this is the purpose of these talks, that we talk and think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes is so around us, so we can really appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So when we say Alhamdulillah, you know it is not a word that is coming out of void or it's just coming out of the tongue like that, Alhamdulillah. Really Alhamdulillah, okay? For everything around us. So now Al-Mu'min, our part in this name. Okay? Al-Mu'min is the one that only tells the truth. Al-Mu'min is the one that only tells the truth. Because we have this attribute, part of the attributes of Allah. So a mu'min will walk around and only tells the truth. A mu'min does not tell a lie. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam testified this in a hadith. A mu'min could commit many sins, but a mu'min does not lie. Does not lie. Why? Lying takes so much effort and planning. Effort and planning. Other sin could be a reaction for some kind of a desire, some impulse. So, like Adam alayhi salam, he had an impulse to go toward the tree after all the temptation that shaitan did. So he went close to the tree. But to lie, you have to plan. You sit there and think, okay, if they come to me and ask me about this, what am I going to say? I'm going to tell them the truth. So here's this what I'm going to do. I say 1, 2, 3, and if they say 4, I'll say 5. And you plan it. This, a believer, it's not like that. A believer cannot lie and should never lie. Also, a believer is a giver of safety as well. Like Allah, not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the same attributes and a different level. And how a believer can give safety? A believer can give safety because the list of virtues that he carries or she carries, the list of manners is so great. Okay? A Muslim, a mu'min, the list of manners of the do's and don'ts, it's so big and it is the best of manners because it is the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perfect the best of manners. So a mu'min have the perfection of manners as in the list. So if you are in this, have the attribute of this list, everyone would love to be your acquaintance. Everyone will would like to become close to you. Everyone would like to become your friend, your neighbor. Because they know what you do and what you do not do. You know that you're not going to come late at night drunk at home. Then you are a giver of safety in this issue. They know that you're not going to throw things in their yard to bother them. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. Allah is not a believer, is not a believer, is not a believer. Three times. They said, Khaba wa khasr, ya Rasulullah. He is a true loser, ya Rasulullah. Who is he? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's the one that his neighbors and the people around him are not safe from his filth. Okay? See, you cannot be a believer and you have bad qualities that affects people around you. So you cannot be a believer because now you're not a giver of safety. You are in a neighborhood that people around would when they want to trust someone with their children to babysit, they will point at you. Because they know you are the giver of safety. You know, people, they know that you are conscious of Allah. You know that when you are alone, you are not alone. So therefore, you feel like you're accountable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, your accountability with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prevent you or keep you on the right path even when you're alone. Someone who calls themselves religious but do not have that connection with Allah, you cannot trust. Someone who has manners but does not believe in Allah, you cannot trust. You understand? Because they're not holding themselves accountable before Allah holds them accountable. So if you close the door on them, you could do anything. Anything is possible because no one knows what goes on. To them, no one knows because Allah to them doesn't exist. And accountability doesn't exist. If you think about what happened in Abu Ghraib in Al-Iraq, I would say this is the main issue, the main point. Okay? You give some people some power in front of people who are weak or taking power, ability to do things to themselves and close the door on them, says you're alone. And they're not accountable in front of Allah. And they're told, this is your enemy. So anything is possible. Everything is possible. Especially when the drugs and alcohol is involved. So the little bit of humanity that could say, you know, for human sake or for this sake or that sake, that little bit is gone as well. So anything is possible. But a believer, he is a giver of safety. He is the one that people can trust. And he is the one that thrive and keep thriving to perfect this best of manners. And we have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show us how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never took revenge, never had no ego, zero ego. He did not. Ego, it gets in the way of being close to Allah. See? Ego gets in the way of being close to Allah. Because it has to do with you. Me, I, and me, and me. And we are in an environment that tells us, that grows this in us and in our children. Okay? That you have nations are being demolished, raped. Women are raped and so forth. It happened in Bosnia a few years ago. And the whole world is watching. And the world saying, we have no fight in this. We have no, it's not our fight. Okay? It's not our fight. Meaning, what's in it for us? Okay? It's not because of some harm to be pushed away from people who are helpless and so forth. No, it is if there's something in it for us, then we will go in. If it doesn't, does not matter, we'll turn the other way. And we have nations in Africa were almost demolished. So the whole world is looking the other side because there is no benefit. Okay? But if there is oil in the ground, if there is benefit here and there, if they are consumers of goods of other nations, they will come protected because there is something there for them. Okay? A believer does not do so. A believer does not have an ego of what is in it for me. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the famous stories, a man came to him and grabbed him and give me what Allah has given you. The issue was, this man is a kafir now. He's going to enter in hellfire if he does not stop this, what he's doing. So this man became very important to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not important to himself. Because what difference does it make if somebody verbally abuse him or physically, grab him and hurt him here and there? Does that make him any less in front of Allah? It doesn't. So it does not matter. But the compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upon this person who could enter hellfire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept giving him, took him away and gave him until the man calmed down. He made dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He apologized. Now the problem is solved, because that is the main thing. That's why a mu'min, the ultimate work of a mu'min is to give amn to someone. We give amn to some people, safety to people, okay, because of our virtues that we have. But the ultimate safety is belief. See? When you bring someone into Islam, that is the ultimate gift that you are given and you're working toward. Because now you truly give safety to someone. Absolute safety. Now this person is going to be safe in this life and safe in the hereafter. Safe from hellfire. Being with Allah, under the mercy of Allah. That is the best work. That is the best work of a mu'min. A best work of a mu'min. Here is a mu'min. Can give safety to mu'mineen around, give safety to an-nas, to mankind around them, and be the best he can and she can and so forth. But now, to carry this deen of ours, of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and teach it to others, and bring people into Islam, into this safety, that is the best work. That is the absolute best work. But to go there, a believer must have a knowledge. We cannot reach that level unless we have knowledge. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Subhanallah. Okay? And know that there is no God but Allah, have the knowledge of no God but Allah, and make istighfar for your sin. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets wahy. And he is sinless. Okay? But here is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us as well. That have that knowledge of La ilaha illallah. And this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knowledge that truly brings us safety. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we try to connect now all the names that we said so far, or it was reflected on so far, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik. He is the king, he is the controller. And we said, Allah give us mulk, ability to have mulk over things. But it is not a temporary, it's not a permanent, but it's a temporary ownership. So we have ownership in our limbs of what to do and what not to do with it. But absolute ownership we have in our intention and control of desire. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Quddus, the pure, we have Quds in us, and we want to purify our mulk. We have ownership, and we want to purify this ownership. And how this ownership is being purified? You have hands, you have ownership of it. You have tongues, you have ownership of it. You have eyes, and you have ears, and you have feet. You have ownership in all of that. And you could do things with it that could be harmful, or you can purify it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Qudus in us, and the ability to work to purify what we own. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salam, the one gives salamah, the one that gives peace and keeps the harm away. And this is how to achieve peace and how to achieve purity in that which you have ownership in. So we go around and see how we keep peace by pushing harm away. And al-mu'min is the one that gives safety through all these attributes that Allah has given us. So in your ownership, you have purity, you have peace, and you are a giver of safety. Imagine that. Imagine that. What a beautiful life. Okay? And imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is in His world, the world that He created. He owns it. He purifies it. He gives safety in it. He gives peace to people in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide them with safety within their life. And who will receive all of that? A mu'min, a believer, that he is qualified and ready to receive these gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the job of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get us to this level in a practical manner. See? In a practical manner. All of this, these talks that we're talking about, it is okay, it could be magnified in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he used his hands, his tongue, his eyes, his feet. How he used his intentions. You know, how, you know, he made dua. So we see what the intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, those who harm him so bad, and he made dua for them that may Allah forgive them and bring those who are muwahideen from among them, from their offsprings. And we see the companions and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took them into this level, high level, of being a mu'min, being receiving this iman from Allah, and receiving this safety from Allah, and providing safety for mankind. And they were literally went out of the Arabian Peninsula providing safety for all mankind. And when we say the Muslims went to the world and told them, you know, we are believers, we're Muslim, we believe in Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we pray five times a day, we give zakah and so forth. Do you think this is what brought people to Islam? Okay? That was not the da'wah. Okay? The da'wah is to tell people about the concept of Islam. Okay? And this is how to implement Islam. Okay? So the belief and the understanding, the deep understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of what Islam is and what La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah means, reflected on their actions and the attributes of Allah around them, they were so consumed by it and practicing it as believers, to the point that they were just standing out in everything that they do. Standing out, they're superhuman here in many aspects of life. Okay? Superhuman meaning that everyone wishes to be like them. Everyone wishes to reach that level of comfort that they have and so forth. Okay? As one brother was the other day, he said something about, he brought someone here, he was talking to him about Islam for so long. And there was a function here, and this man came, who was a non-Muslim. And he knows about Islam because, you know, for years and years he was introduced to it and so forth. But he's sort of argued the point. And then he came here, according to this brother, he came here. And before he left, He told him, could you bring me some, information about Islam and so forth? So he said, what brought this home, okay? Because I've been talking to you for years, what happened? He said, I looked in the face of the youth, and it seems like they did not have much troubles. Okay? Point being is that once we get to have that knowledge about Allah, okay, about the attributes of Allah, we cannot help by reacting and acting in our life and proacting according to these attributes, and it becomes who we are. It becomes a knowledge that becomes us, not a knowledge, as we say, we carry with us, right? A knowledge that you carry with you, no one knows unless something happened that shows that you do something that people would know, right? If you have a mathematical problem here and someone answered it very quickly, we know that he's a mathematician. Other than that, we don't know that you're a mathematician, right? It's a knowledge that you carry with you. But the knowledge that becomes you is the knowledge that we're discussing now, that actually transform you to something else, to a higher level of a human being, to a superhuman being, okay? Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And we could see it among us as a community growing, as individual growing, okay? You could see it. Someone had not come from masjid for a long time, and they come to the masjid, and you could tell how they handle themselves is not with the etiquette that is different than etiquette of someone who's comfortable with the masjid. Okay? And he might sit and spread his legs in front of his or something. He might, do this, and that this etiquette is not, and you do not tell them anything. You do not tell them, no, you do not do this, you do not do the etiquette of this and that, you don't. But we talk about things like we're talking about now. And now this knowledge transforms this person to someone who would come into eventually the masjid in a humble way, not I am here way, right? In a way of being helpful rather than commanding. In a way of putting the sleeve up, say, what do I do instead of what you can do for me? And so forth and so on. A person transforms to something else. Inshallah, as we do, I request, but not many, share. But I would like, inshallah, for us to reflect on this, in the name or what I talked about, what we reflected about in the words of the scholars, and what you reflect on in the way of al-mu'min, what do you know about it now, or what do you want to share with us now in this name and others' name that we talked about, inshallah. Come on. Yes, we can, inshallah. We do? I don't know. No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, with the one with the wire. Anyway, see, we turn the microphone off and so forth, and then ideas start coming around. I'll share something that Brother Lo'ay said last time. It was last time or the time before? About the waves, the brain waves that the brain gives and how it is measured.
That's part of the what we are talking about.
Well, it is the mentioning of Allah. It's the mention of Allah.
No, I liked what you said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows Himself. Mm-hmm. And this is amazing that we live and die and we don't know ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it, just seriously think about it. Like you live 70, 80 years, you know, or whatever, and then you die and you don't know the machine you are carrying. You don't know even, I mean, from medical point of view or from psychological or even, you know, you don't know. Some people doesn't know why they are here. They don't know. I mean, they just think that they are eat and live and drink, and especially non-Muslims, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't know. But this is amazing, you know. And then they argue about very big issues, mm-hmm. about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. They argue about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's stunning sometimes, you know. You remember I told you this before, Sheikh Mahmoud, mm-hmm. when we study in physiology, mm-hmm. how the cell itself, the brain, mm-hmm. how the cell itself, I mean, recognize and a piece of information. You know, what is information? You know, mm-hmm. and it's information is just an electrical charge. Mm-hmm. You know, come to you from a receptor, mm-hmm. which is eye, or from your eye, from your, you know, whatever, hand, from your hearing, and go through this, you know, positive and negative charge, go to the cell hold it for a while, you know, it's with temporary memory, and then they send it somewhere else to keep it for a while if you really memorize it, you know. Mm-hmm. And this just one piece of information you go on there. And so you collect this information as a child. You know, you grow up as a child. They will tell you, actually. You don't necessarily have to go through the experience. They tell you, oh, don't put your hand here. This is fire, you know. This is good for you. This is bad. So very limited to your environment. If you are in a very knowledgeable house, you will get some, you know, information according to what, you know, that, but if you don't. So you grow up collecting this piece of information around you, and it's very limited because of the time. You are not living, you know, a billion years, mm-hmm. so you see how much knowledge. And then the minute you grow up and become whatever, able to read and write, you know, you go to school, you read two books, three books in high school, you know, you are now 16 years old. And what did you have knowledge, you know, through this 16 is barely nothing, you know, a couple books here and there and some talks and movie. And then right away you declare, oh, there is no God, you know. So what your religion you are following? So, oh, no, well, I'm not religious. Why? Oh, there is no God. I don't believe there is God. Who are you to do? I mean, you see what I mean? He did not have very limited knowledge in his brain he did not know himself yet. He don't know how this, you know, himself, physiology work, and where is the liver from the kidney, he doesn't know. And he declare a huge issue, mm-hmm. you know, go to the, and said no. And go on in his life believing that and may die, you know, before he. So, subhanallah, about the knowledge that you said, Allah, he knows himself before, I mean, he knows himself, everything about himself. This is amazing. Because Allah, knowledge cannot be contained, like you said, by a human, mm-hmm. and only Allah know himself. Mm-hmm. Nobody could know Allah except Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, and did I take a long time?
No.
Should I go for?
I think everybody appreciate that.
Huh? No, should I say the one we said yesterday?
Fadda.
Yeah, I was reading in. I told the brothers, I was reading in. The brain waves, the EEG, electroencephalogram, which is we do in our work, my work, to monitor patients in the surgery room. And I was reading, and they said these waves, you know, there is different waves, alpha, beta, delta. These waves are go smoothly in the recorder unless there is artifact will affect her. And one of the artifacts, you know, changing the pattern of this wave, is muscle movement, could be, you know. And they pointed out that one of the strong muscles could do that, or the biggest muscle is the tongue. And the most influential part of the tongue on this ways are the tip of the tongue. And the tip of the tongue, not everything, you know, the movement, specific letters could timber your brain waves, you know, change your mood, change whatever they want to explain. And they write by an author who is not a Muslim, doesn't know anything about that. He said, the letters are L-A-H, L-A-H, L-A-H. You know, and it's lah, 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 you know. Said, this is the most effective letters could change your brain waves when you say it. So, you know, when I stopped there, I said, okay, this is lah, 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 which was we say, la ilaha illallah, you know, when, but we say it in
Allah,
this
Allah, Allah,
oh,
yeah.
Allah, 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 you know. It's L-A-H, L-A-H. Yeah. So it was amazing for me, you know, that he, after all the study, he found that when you said la ilaha illallah or whatever, la, 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 this is, you know.
This is what we're talking about. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you the truth, right?
Right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ
right.
Doesn't by the mention of Allah, hearts become
so
tranquil.
Tranquil. Right.
This is
so
it.
There is, I don't know what is the effect in the brain, but the machine show you there is an effect. You know, the recording machine will say, if you said la la ilaha la la or la ilaha illallah, there is an effect on the brain. I don't know. We know from the Quran, Allah said so, but in physiology, they don't know why this artifact happened, or, you know, they did not reach that knowledge yet. But subhanAllah. That's what I was going to share. Anybody else?
Assalamu alaikum. I've been. I missed most of your lecture, Sheikh. I'm sorry, but I had to take Ibrahim home. I know what Brother Luai was saying. There are so many interesting things in science that we know about, or that we didn't know before, that we know now, that show us, reflect the might and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people who are disbelievers, they're very, very educated. They don't necessarily disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they disbelieve in all the misconceptions that people have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, I've talked to some physicists and mathematicians, have read their works. It is just incredible what depth they go to discover the truth. And there was one very scientist who, for his entire life, he was a non-believer, disbeliever. He had finally said, you know, there is such intricacy in the universe and the world that we live in that it is impossible for this to have come about arbitrarily. There must have been some force that created this. And that force we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very interesting thing. I mean, different religions say different things. They have different gods. And people believe in all sorts of silly things. And there is a lot of violence. So some people rebel against that. And they say, oh, okay, well, we don't want to get involved. But there is so much that science is now showing, you know, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, they have found that they existed, in fact, scientifically. Using mitochondrial DNA, they've discovered that every human being came from one woman. And her name is Hawa. We call her Hawa. And they later on, they discovered every human being came from one man. The DNA footprint, they had the same human being. SubhanAllah. So, and all these things, and some of the stories that we read in the Quran, it's also in the Torah. I was watching a documentary the other day. It's called Exodus Decoded. Exodus is when the Bani Israel were saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Pharaoh. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, especially educated people, say, "Oh, this is all nonsense. None of this happened." You know, and the Quran also says, you know, the Nile River turned into blood. the waves swallowed up Pharaoh and his army. But then these people, they researched the whole thing. They went to Egypt. They did the research. And they showed how there was a tremendous volcanic eruption which caused iron at the carbon dioxide gas to be released into the Nile, which precipitated iron hydroxide, which turned the river red, turned the Nile River red, and how the same volcano caused a tremendous earthquake that resulted in a tsunami, where you know the waves went out and the people ran across, and then the waves came back.
Yeah. So, but they are trying to rationalize this and try to, you know, but even if there is none of these things happen.
Yes.
In a way of a cause and effect, we do not even think about this cause effect.
Yes.
Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to it be, and it was.
Yes, and that is the ultimate point. It is that throughout history, people have been very arrogant. Everyone at some point or another said, we are very modern, we are very smart, we are too smart to believe these things. And then slowly, as knowledge comes, people can see some of the things that happen and how it happened and say, oh, subhanAllah, it is true. But slowly the truth comes out. Maybe, Allahu Alam, maybe another 1,000 years from now, they will find a new truth. And the only real truth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that.
جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا